Hour number two of the program begins right now. Buried amongst a lot of huge soccer matches, NBA free agency off and running. LeGerald Vick is back at Kansas. This was not expected. We talked about it even when we were listening to Bill Self say, well, I guess the door's not closed because I'm meeting with him. That was just lip service. It turns out it's not. Why wasn't it? Let's talk to Jesse Newell. He handles the Kansas beat for the Kansas City Star. He's with us on our Sprint guest line right now. Jesse, how are you?
Doing great, Sir. And how about you?
Good. No complaints. Love the soccer this weekend. All around, even though the local squad didn't win. And I don't care if the Royals win or lose. In fact, I'd actually prefer they lose and get the better draft pick. So for me, it's a good weekend. And how about it? How surprised are you? Because I gave no shot. And I'll say it, no shot. Not 1% or 2%. I thought that was just lip service from Bill Self. I don't think there was any chance that LeGerald Vick was going to be back with this team. Did you think there was any chance?
No, not until late last week when things kind of seemed to change pretty quickly. But I agree with you. You know, when he was asked for comment about it, he seemed pretty built up, that is. He seemed pretty adamant that nothing was going to change, nothing had changed in his thoughts. And, you know, you can understand why from just the situation that had happened with LeGerald Vick at Kansas and, you know, the situation that was about to happen when he first talked about it. You know, those two guys didn't really get along all last year. You know, there'd been talk about that and practices, how they butted heads. Bill Self very publicly said a couple times how he was frustrated with LeGerald Vick's effort and focus and doing the things that he wanted him to do. You know, it was a matter of there'd be times where Bill Self would tell LeGerald to go shoot it, and that would immediately lead to him passing it. And sometimes when he'd tell him to pass it, it'll immediately lead to him shooting it. So Bill Self's so good about pushing the right buttons and finding finally, you know, the way to get through to players. You saw that with Malik Newman late in the year, how he started to pick up his defense and do the things he wanted, Bill Self wanted from him, and he really turned it on late. And I think that obviously helped KU down the stretch. It just never seemed to click with LeGerald Vick. So through all that happening, you thought, okay, this is going to be their last year together. And then, you know, Bill Self wanted that final scholarship for a while because they were recruiting Romeo Langford. They were recruiting Joe Cremo, who was a graduate transfer. So when all those fell through and didn't come to Kansas, then that scholarship remained. And Bill Self, you know, said he owed it to LeGerald Vick to meet with him. And so they met, as our Gary Bedore reported, met in Memphis to talk about this. And Bill Self approached it with his team and had a team meeting and basically asked his players about it. And, you know, I kind of compare this a little bit to in baseball. We always talk about there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract. For KU, they probably weren't going to use that scholarship. And now with LeGerald Vick, you know, you get the scholarship back. You can go ahead, no matter what happens this season, they're going to have it for recruiting next year. So I guess in Bill Self's mind, he came to the conclusion that he wanted to have the security blanket of having at least some known outside shooting on this year's team. But yet, I agree with you. I still think it's a really big surprise at this point for him to allow a guy that told him he was going to leave, that it seemed mutually that they were going to have, he was going to go in the NBA, you know, without an agent or, you know, leave his name in the draft. And then he kind of went back on that word and left KU in a weird spot and left Bill Self in a weird spot. So I was surprised when Bill Self took him back. So yeah, KU gets an outside shooter, but it also makes you wonder about the chemistry moving forward with this team and how many pieces they do have and how some of these minutes are going to go. Because this looks like a crowded roster, at least at this point.
It is, and let's be clear, just to underscore it. Had he landed either one of the kids he was recruiting, and you just mentioned Romeo Langford, who went to Indiana, and what was the kid from Albany?
Joe Cremo. He ended up at Villanova as a grad transfer.
Yeah, had he landed either one of those, he still could have fit Vic, right? Because they could redshirt somebody, and that was one of the pieces of conversation that was going on as we ended the season. He could have redshirted Lightfoot and still brought Vic back, right?
From my understanding, you have 13 scholarships. So, I mean, that would have had to be something where you would have to tell somebody before the season to take their scholarship away. I don't think that would have happened. So, especially the first announcement he made when he was making it very clear that LeGerald Vick was not coming back, I think that announcement was basically saying, hey, Romeo, there's a spot for you if you want to come.
So the redshirt doesn't get it done?
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
Not to my understanding. And again, unless you have that conversation with somebody before the season.
No. I was just curious. All right. But had he landed either one of those guys, Vic wouldn't be here, right? We both agree on that.
Yes.
Okay. So this was the fallback position, and not a bad fallback position, right? A guy who knows the offense and, you know, has been there for a while and is athletic and can play multiple positions. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world. But why do we think the chemistry is going to be better between the two of them?
That's a good question. And maybe the better question is, why does Bill Self think the chemistry is going to be better between the two of them this coming year? I think part of this goes back to Gary's story and his comments, Bill Self's comments to Gary when he wrote this story from last week, which I guess during that meeting, you know, Bill Self kind of had a list of rules and stipulations and things that LeGerald Vick needed to do and follow to get himself back on the team. But it sounded like through this process that LeGerald Vick and his family very much wanted to come back to Kansas. And so the onus was kind of on them to comply with whatever KU or Bill Self stated. And so there might be some things there that Bill Self is making very clear that he needs to do to come back. But that's a really good question. And again, throughout the entire year last year, you could just always kind of sense that relationship wasn't going that well. And you could sense it even in the release when LeGerald Vick first declared for the NBA, because Bill Self even said in that release, you know, we make it very clear that he's not coming back. You know, his time at Kansas is up, that sort of thing. So I don't know what changed over that time. I don't know why that could be mended so quickly, other than if LeGerald Vick and Bill Self said this. He said LeGerald Vick seemed like he wanted to help the team, like he had maybe more unselfish thoughts that were about how he could help the Jayhawks coming back. But again, this all comes back in my mind just to the thought of, for Bill Self, he had to at some point sit down for himself and say, okay, what are the pros, what are the cons of this? I know I have an open scholarship, but what are the benefits you get from getting LeGerald Vick back, and what are the negatives from getting him back? And like I said, to me, what it signals to me maybe more than anything else is that Bill Self could see an issue with this upcoming team when it comes to outside shooting. And LeGerald Vick, if nothing else, provides an outside shooter that KU can rely upon when they lost Sumakai Luke, Malik Newman, Devontae Graham from a year ago. And you see how important shooting is. I mean, you saw KU go up against Villanova. You saw KU go up against other teams that really they outscored their problems a bunch last year just by making a bunch of three-pointers. So I guess in his mind, not using the scholarship, and you know, again, like you talked about, Seren, you have a three-year guy. You know, have a guy that you know knows the offense. But again, this is what's interesting about this is kind of the domino effect of what happens. And I know fans get excited about it this time of year because, you know, in the offseason, it's like you can't have too much ice cream. You know what I mean? Like, if you get a gallon of ice cream, that's totally fine. But in basketball, you don't need 13 players. You know what I mean? You need 8 to 9. And Bill Self always played 8 to 9. And so what does this do for some of these guys down the line, a K.J. Lawson? What does this do for a Marcus Garrett? What does this do for a Devon Dotson? I mean, those are the questions. Bill Self says he's not worried about the minutes, but you've seen the last 2 years, KU's had a lot of success where they've had basically 8 or 9 guys that could play. They all played their minutes. They played with a very thin bench, but those guys understood their roles, got to play with other guys a lot better, and they seemed to have chemistry down the stretch, as we saw with the Final Four run last year. So there could be some negatives from this, even though fans obviously see a lot of the positives, and there could be positives. I mean, LeGerald Vick coming back provides KU a shooting option that it didn't have. It's just this does have at least a little bit of potential to have a backfire for KU. Again, we'll see what happens. It doesn't have to be that way, but it definitely could be that way based on a lot of the talent bodies they have coming back and a lot of those guys were expecting to get minutes.
Yeah, and listen, Vic, one of the reasons why everybody thought he was gone was all the things that off the court he was in the middle of. You know, not necessarily that he was, you know, charged with a crime, but he had the drink thrown in his face that had Josh Jackson out kicking the car, allegedly. That's how the story goes as to how that came out. I mean, those things didn't go away. I mean, that was supposed to be – I mean, does this hurt Bill Self's credibility? Because the perception was that, all right, we dealt with it, I stood by you, but now it's time to go because you've had too many problems. That is the narrative that's been put out there, all right? So that didn't change. You know, there were plenty of rumblings. No doubt you heard them as if I was hearing them. Those were the rumblings coming out of Lawrence. Does this hurt his credibility? And, you know, he's already got detractors that are generally the folks that don't like Kansas that will point to the different issues of players of his that have gotten into trouble. Does this hurt his credibility?
You know, I'm not sure about that. And you know, you mentioned the Josh Jackson situation, obviously the Title IX investigation, too, that we reported on in the Kansas State Star that goes into – that as well with his former girlfriend. But, you know, the thing about it is that Lodrell Vick continued to play for Kansas after that. And so if he played a sophomore season and a junior season, then there's really no reason to not play a senior season. The reason for him to leave the program or to go on in separate ways were, again, twofold at the end of the season. It's those guys basically didn't get along, and they felt like it'd be better off without each other, or, you know, Lodrell Vick would be better off moving on to his professional life. And then for number two, this happens a lot. I mean, especially at Kansas, especially in big-time college basketball, is that you make plans with players with certain end dates in mind, basically, so that you can continue recruiting. I mean, for Bill Self, he thought Lodrell Vick was gone, just like he thought Malik Newman was gone before the season. And when you can say to recruits, hey, Malik Newman's going to be gone after this year, come on to Kansas, well, then you get Quentin Grimes to fill in for him. And you get Devon Dotson to fill in for him. And you can go back in time. I mean, there was another one with Wayne Selden after his junior year. A lot of KU fans were surprised that he left Kansas. Again, it's the same thing. They met before the season. Wayne Selden said he was going to go pro basically no matter what. And then he had an okay season, decided to go pro, and that's what happened. So Bill Self can recruit in his spot. And, you know, I forget the player who was – oh, Josh Jackson. It was Josh Jackson who took Wayne Selden's spot. So this happens a lot at this level, which is, you know, they don't make it public. They don't come out in September and say, hey, Lodrell Vick has already told us he's leaving to go pro at the end of the season. But the coaching staff wants to know. They want to know how many scholarships they have to deal with, and they want to go into these kids' living rooms and say, hey, look, if they ask him, hey, what about Lodrell Vick? I see he's coming back. No, he's not coming back. He's assured us he's not. And so that might be more of a question mark for Bill Self. And, again, it puts his players in a difficult spot. I mean, if you go to a team meeting and you say, hey, how do you guys feel about welcoming Lodrell Vick back? I mean, we've all been in those situations before. Are you going to be the one person who raises your hand and says, well, you know what? I really don't like that because he's going to take my minutes. I mean,
well, and that's – and that's
everybody else is going to raise their hand and say, yeah, we want Lodrell Vick back. We like the guy.
All right, and I'm glad you brought that up, Jesse, because that's part of it that has me scratching my head. Because, listen, you know, you talk to coach – I just talked to a coach just the other day, and we were talking about culture, right? And you know, the way they put it to me was like, listen, there's nothing worse than the coach who goes to the team and says, what should we do with this guy? Because – you know, now you're creating conflict amongst your team. Like, I was really surprised. Like, Bill Self's the ultimate disciplinarian, right? Or at least the ultimate in-your-face, challenge him type of coach. But then we're putting it to a vote. I don't like that. I'll be honest with you. I don't know that I buy that it actually happened, right, the way it's been kind of portrayed. If it did, I don't like it. And that's what leads me to the – does it hurt his credibility? Not with the university. They're not firing him. He's the most important guy on that campus, right? So he's not going anywhere there. But does it, you know, when you talk about don't get in trouble to your players, right? A violation of team rules. No matter how good they are, good coaches will suspend any player no matter how good they are. Because if they don't, then all the team rules get crapped on. I mean, this to me had all the writings of Bill Self had enough, and Lodrell Vick had to go so that everybody who came to Kansas, everyone who's on that campus right now, anyone who might come to campus right now knows, enough's enough. I'm in the middle of a Title IX thing here, and, you know, Josh Jackson's kicking cars over there. It's like, I can't have this. I can't have this with my team. You get into enough crap, I'll stand by you till we find a point. Now, listen, if it's bad enough, we'll kick you off the team immediately, right? But just an accumulation of sins will not be tolerated. That's gone. I mean, that's out the door now. There's no way. That was, to me, the whole purpose of running LeGerald Vick and being so clear about it. And now this is an absolute backtrack. And if this team comes out and it's not disciplined, well, I wonder why. You know?
Yeah, no, well, and I go back to you mentioned this point in the middle of it, and I think it's the right point, which is if it's bad enough, you kick him off the team. And I think that would be Bill Self's stance, which is if the sins were bad enough, you kick him off the team and they're no longer with the team. But, you know, the accumulation you're talking about, I think you're, you know, it's over time and then also those guys butting heads. I mean, I think that was the last straw, is that those guys didn't seem to really, you know, get along. I mean, that seemed to be a pretty clear thing over the course of last year. Now, something has changed since then. And again, I don't know what that is, but I see your point. And then also, again, I think it puts this whole roster – I mean, whenever we hear guys like, you know, Jay Billis and talk about how transfers should be open, and transfers should be free, and how coaches are allowed to go where they want to go, you know, if they get a better job offer, but kids kind of have to stay there. I mean, you can see a scenario here where certain Kansas players are probably sitting there thinking, well, I'm kind of stuck now. You know, what can I do here? Because they were probably told, you know, months ago that Lojerovic was leaving, and they were probably told a couple months ago that Lojerovic was leaving. And now, late in the process, and again, this might have been, you know, this might have been taken to a team vote. I don't know. I mean, they might have raised their hands and said they wanted him back. But it's a little bit unfair in that setting to ask them to, for their true opinion when they've got all their teammates around them. So there could be a couple guys on the team that could wish now that they could go play for some other team out there, a Nebraska or a Wichita State, or I don't know. I mean, that's what's difficult about this, and that's why sometimes the increased depth and the added bodies, it looks great on paper, and it's great for fans to talk about in the preseason, but sometimes it doesn't always result in exactly what you're looking for. So, yeah. Again, we'll see. I mean, it's too early to know. I have no idea how it's going to turn out. I mean, it could work out for Kansas, and he could be a great player, and he could have his attitude turned around, and maybe there'll be injuries or red shirts, and this whole thing, this minutes thing figures itself out. Bill Self didn't seem too concerned about that last week when he spoke to reporters, but I don't know right now. It's a little bit difficult to tell right now which way this is going to go. And like you, I'm just a little bit surprised that it happened this way, especially after Lojerovic said he was declaring, told everybody he was leaving, and then kind of backed out of it at the last minute and didn't even tell coaches. And so I don't know. It's a weird, weird situation. But KU has a scholarship filled up now, and we will see what happens moving forward just with how everything goes down with Lojerovic now back on campus and back as part of this basketball team.
Yeah, and we're talking to Jesse Newell here in the program. What's your read? Are we within 2 weeks of getting a new AD at Kansas, or did this announcement that Rick Hart at SMU turning them down, was that the focus that they were going, and now the timeline's been backed up?
Good question. Both of those. I think you're right on with both of them. You know, I spoke to Douglas Girard last week, and he had spoken at a Salina fundraiser event on Monday, and said the two-week he'd hoped to have some good news by 2 weeks later. So I asked him on that Wednesday, and I said, is that still your goal? And he said, yes, absolutely. I want to move this process up. But I also agree with you on the second point, which is there sure seemed to be a lot of smoke around the Rick Hart fire when it came to SMU's AD. And from early on, it seemed like there was mutual interest both ways, and it seemed like that was not a done deal, but that it was moving down the line, and there was getting to be some movement on it. We never know, I guess, in these situations until maybe years down the line, but for whatever reason, there seemed to be some cold feet in this on Rick Hart's part. So, you know, him not going to be the athletic director, that probably did maybe alter the process or alter the timeline a little bit. So we'll see what happens with Douglas Giron, but with this, you know, search committee that they have, or this, you know, Corn Ferry who they hire, usually those committees give them two or three names off the top, and then, you know, you go and choose your person from there. So I wouldn't be surprised if KU is down to, you know, two or three finalists, but it does seem like it might take a little bit longer based on maybe one guy turning them down that they thought had initial interest or did have initial interest, and maybe got a little bit of cold feet later in the process. So we'll see. 2 weeks from last Monday, right, I guess, would be next Monday. But the 4th of July also kind of throws a hex into things, too, because you don't really want to announce on a Friday. Usually you wait for good news on a Monday. And having it happen next week wouldn't surprise me at all. But they've kept this whole thing pretty quiet. And even some of the donors we've talked to, you know, haven't really known much about this process going on. That's really how you want it with an athletic director search, because of what happened with SMU, what happened with their card, is sometimes people back out and get cold feet if this becomes public. But not too much to report on that right now. But like you said, right, could be news as soon as this week. I guess we'll wait and see how it plays out. But I think Rick Hart was part of their plans. It just didn't happen and fell through. So they'll move on to whoever's next on the list.
Yeah, and I guess we don't know now. We may never know whether or not he was top of the list or just on the list, and parlayed that into more money where he's at. I'm not going to attribute Mike Holder getting a raise at Oklahoma State to Kansas, but Mitch Barnhart at Kentucky getting one, I believe that says to me, like, you're hearing all these AD raises pop around. Because I think what on paper is a really good job, the Kansas AD job, because you can't help but be better in football. And you got Bill Self running the operation in basketball. So to me, that would make it a really attractive job if I'm an athletic director that's any good, right? I know what I'm doing, and I'm confident in myself, which I presumably every successful athletic director is. They don't think like, good Lord, I got lucky. Wow, right? They think they really know what they're doing. I get the vibe that like Barnhart was probably reached out to. And you take that and be like, listen, guys, I don't want to leave Kentucky, but you know, I did get a call. My agent got a call. Okay, let's get your contract done. Right? I think that's out there. But, you know, if it doesn't come to fruition in 2 weeks since he went public with the 2 weeks, can we agree that something's gone wrong? And can we agree that probably what's gone wrong is the FBI investigation looming over Kansas is a bigger issue than they certainly wanted to believe when they started down this road?
Well, I wouldn't disagree that if it doesn't happen within 2 weeks that something maybe gone wrong is too strong. But, yes, something has gone out of whack for them because he seemed very confident, both to me and then obviously to fundraisers in Salina, that it would be done within 2 weeks. So that would lead you to believe that he was on a road where he thought something could be completed quickly. You know, I don't know if it's the FBI thing, and it's difficult for me to parse out how much of that is it. I do know that football is a big challenge. I mean, I think that's the thing. And listen, you can look at the previous athletic director and you can go, okay, well, it's pretty obvious, you know, why Shane Zenger is no longer with Kansas. I mean, the two failings that you'll want to have fixed are that the fundraising with the football project, which is a very, very ambitious project, you know, trying to raise $350 million to rebuild Memorial Stadium, basically, for a program that has not been that good lately and that that does not have a successful football program. And then, you know, the lack of success over the last 10 years. And you know you're going to have to hire a good football coach in what is a very tough situation. The thing about even hiring a football coach right now is that might be difficult, you know, if they move on from David Beatty, if he doesn't have a successful 2018, just because, you know, even if you're a mid-major coach, or, I mean, I guess there's no mid-major in football, but you know what I'm saying, like an Ohio or something, I mean, not Solich, but that sort of level, I mean, are you going to even if how much of a raise is it going to take for you to move on to Kansas where you know it's going to take some time and that they need a lot of things and that the football stadium is not built yet? And so this whole process of hiring a football coach and getting the program turned around and building facilities and raising money, it can be pretty daunting, I would think, for a situation like Kansas. So, again, it comes back to money, too, because what's KU going to pay? I mean, what is KU going to pay to get the right guy in there as athletic director? That's a question that remains to be answered. And then just who wants this job? And, again, like you said, Trent, who's confident enough in themselves to know that they can take this job and get things done and hire the right coach and get the money for football? All that can seem pretty simple, you know, when you're talking about it right now, but it might not be that simple, and that might be why he's been in such a rut here for the last decade.
We're talking to Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star here on our Sprintcast line. Time for our Mosquito Squad Final Four. Go to kansascity.mosquitosquad.com to protect your family, friends, and pets from the bugs that bite. Call 877-MO-SQUAD. Whether it's the full season protection plan like I use or just an event spray, it's kansascity.mosquitosquad.com. I'll start you with this. Jesse, the Royals' record will end up being what after 162 games?
Oh. I guess I'll get my like Sam Mellinger optimism out and say 60 and 102.
Okay, they're going to get red hot, according to Jesse.
That would have to be hot, yeah.
Yeah. LeBron does or does not win another championship in his career as a player, of course.
Yeah, he'll win another one.
Oh, wow. Said. Well, look at that. It's going to roll right through the Warriors suck, Jesse Newell says. Now, because he'll definitely win another one.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Who's going to win the World Cup?
Oh, man. Man, I don't know much, but you know, I'll stick with Croatia.
Okay.
They've got some good vibes on their side.
They do, and some good players too, which helps also.
Yes.
What year does KU play in a bowl game next? School, the season year. I'm not asking to get tricky about January 1 or not.
Yeah.
Because we know when they do crack a bowl game, it's going to be in January, right? No chance it's one of those pesky little December bowls.
Yeah, that'll go straight back to the Orange Bowl again.
Yeah.
You know, I'll go, I mean, six wins. You think with three non-cons, you could get those. And let's go 2022. They're probably kind of like on a Royals sort of schedule right now that you would think, hey, if things could get turned around here in the next 3 or 4 years and get back to the postseason, that'd be a pretty good feat.
So this freshman class, Jesse Newell says, is the one that will bring the drought to an end. You like how I read into all your answers, Jesse?
I like that.
Yeah.
It seems to happen on the Final Four sometimes.
It does, doesn't it? I know.
It does. It's okay.
All right, I appreciate
it. I like it.
Jesse, great stuff. You do a great job covering KU. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good, Trent. Appreciate it.
All right, you bet. Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star. We'll take a break. I react to a couple of things he said there, and maybe, I don't know. I'll see if you guys did. I haven't really given my thoughts on Gerald Vick, but if you see it as kind of a warning sign like I do, and we'll talk a little Royals baseball as well coming up here in the program.